Well, good morning and welcome to Ashbourne Baptist Church. It's such a privilege, isn't it, to be able to meet together, even though it's very strange like this, and I'm looking all over the place. I can hardly see you through this perspective here, but it's good to know that we can meet together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we come to worship the God who made this beautiful creation around us. So welcome to ABC, or one of my friends says, why don't you call it BBC these days? But there we are, let's hope it's not for too long. As you know, Nathan and Rachel are away on holiday, so we need to pray that they would have a blessed and happy time. Tim is preaching online at Steep Turnpike this morning. And then this evening we have our normal Zoom evening meeting, and this week we've got Mark Selby, the young minister from Hilton, speaking at that time. So please, if you can, join us for that and encourage each other as we worship together. And then on Thursday again we have our normal Zoom Bible study. Today, two special things. One is that we've got our first trial at a Sunday school in the back there with Felicity. Hi folks. Can you hear me okay in there?
Yes, we're good.
Good. And also, we've got a special feature today, which is we're focusing on the persecuted church around the world. So that's going to take the emphasis of our service this morning. Just want to tell you, we've just come back from visiting Richard and Emma, and we passed on the greetings of the church, and they were very touched by that and asked that we would return their greetings to everyone here this morning. They're doing fine, so it was a real encouragement to meet with them last week or so. Just want to start by reading these words from Psalm 46, very appropriate. As we try and focus our thoughts today, not so much on our comfortable surroundings here, but as we go hand in hand with our brothers and sisters around the world. So just reading these words from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Amen. Well, we're going to sing to God's praise, and Glyn and John are going to help us this morning. Sorry that you can't really take part. I can hear behind the screen, but sorry for you folks. And again, I'd like us to think as we sing these words of just what it would be like to be in a persecuted church situation this morning. These words were written by Frances Jane Van Alstyne, better known as Fanny Crosby. She was blind from childhood, and she married Mr. Van Alstyne, another blind person. And yet they were able to write these wonderful, confident words as we live our Christian lives. So let's sing or read these words now, all the way my Saviour leads me.
my silver leads thee, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, hear my faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, here's his winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed in mortal, wings his flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Thank you. Children there at the back. Hi there. Front here too. Do you know something? There's one thing that I think I can guarantee that your mums and dads, indeed all Christian parents throughout the world, want for you, pray for you, more than anything else. They want you to be successful, they want you to be happy at school, to have a lovely life, to get a good job when you get older, and to live in a happy home. But there's probably one thing that's even more important than that. There definitely is one thing. And that is that they will be praying that you become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You become Christians. Even though that might mean that certain things you probably wouldn't do that the world and all your friends might expect you to do. And there might be problems, especially in different parts of the world, when you become a Christian. I want to tell you a story about a girl that we knew when we lived in the Arabian Peninsula many years ago now, but it's still very real to us. We used to go to a mission hospital there, and there's a little group there that of Christians met together in that mission hospital. And although there was a government hospital, a lot of the local people used to go to that mission hospital because they knew they got really good treatment there. And the Christians were very caring to everybody. And one girl, she had a problem with her skin, Saba, came to that Christian hospital. And the doctors dealt with her and healed her as best they could. But more importantly, she heard about Jesus there for the first time, and she became a Christian. But there was a problem. Her brothers and her parents hated Jesus. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And they told their sister Saba that if she came home, they would kill her. Can you believe that? That's what happens in different parts of the world. And so she actually had to live in the mission hospital and never go out of the compound there for many, many years. And we went back to that hospital perhaps 20 years after that. And she had been reconciled with her parents, not sure about her brothers. after all those years. But that's what can happen to boys and girls who become Christians in different parts of the world. We really need to pray really hard that God will help them, as we've just been singing, that Jesus would lead them all the way, even when times are difficult. And there are many people like Saba around the world, even today. Shigun's going to come and pray now for us and for the situation around the world at this time. Thank you.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we appreciate you and we thank you once again for another day, for another life, which is a gift. We don't deserve it, but by your grace, we are alive today, and you have counted us among the living. Lord, we thank you. We bring our heart of gratitude unto you. We thank you for the privilege to come into your sanctuary, to worship and adore you, to give you praise. We thank you because we belong to you. We know you as our Lord. We thank you because we no longer belong to the world. This morning, accept our thanks and praises and give us a wonderful service today. Send us a word that will lead us through the rest of our lives. We pray, O Lord, that as we have known you and we are serving you, we will not go back to the world and will continue to serve you in truth and in spirit. In the name of Jesus, we want to pray this morning specifically for persecuted churches all over the world, in Asia, in Africa, in Europe, everywhere. It's all around. It's very, very common. We pray, O Lord, let your kingdom come on earth. Let your word spread around the world and let people come to your knowledge and serve you. We pray that there will be peace all over the world. There will be an enabling environment for Christians to spread your word so that more people can come to your knowledge and be saved. We pray, O Lord, for as many in various countries all over the world, as many Christians that are being persecuted. We pray that you come and set them free, you come to their rescue. We pray, O Lord, they will not be discouraged from serving you. Give them the strength to continue to forge ahead and preach your gospel. We also pray specifically for the United Kingdom, even in this present situation, the pandemic, restricting opportunity to be able to spread the word further. We ask, O Lord, you come and put an end to this pandemic so that freely we can do your work. We pray, O Lord, for countries in Africa, even though the pandemic is not that eating, but there are other crises here and there stopping people from spreading the word, in Uganda, in Nigeria. We pray, O Lord, that you will step into their boat and let there be peace. Let there be preaching of your word and let people come to your knowledge. We pray for the government. They are making efforts to restore normalcy in various countries. We ask, O Lord, take over their heart, rule their heart, and let them do things that will sincerely bring and restore peace in their countries, so that at the end O Lord. People will come to your knowledge and they will continue to serve you. This and many more we pray for in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Shigan.
Many know that my aunt and uncle served in Nigeria for all their life, pretty much, in northern Nigeria, and Gene Oliver in Oxford Grove Tabernacle similarly worked alongside them, and so really got an interest in God's Word there. I'll ask Linda now to come and read God's Word. Thank you.
I'm reading from Romans 12, starting at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
I don't know if the Sunday School want to split off at this point, but we'll turn to God's Word. And we're looking, as I say, at the issue of persecution and how we can live godly Christian lives in that situation. And I've called this sermon Hope in Suffering. We do every year try and concentrate our thoughts on the persecuted church around this time, but of course we want to be praying and learning about God's people around the world throughout the year, and we want to stand alongside our brothers and sisters. And we want to think of those, particularly today, who are suffering. And we want to stand alongside them as though they were our physical brothers and sisters. That we have the same love, the same concern for them. And as we think of that, we also want to think of people in our own country. People who we perhaps know, who are suffering simply because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are at the sharp end of persecution and suffering. In this country, we've been spared for many years now the sort of physical persecution that is still evident around the world. But in some respects, it wasn't that long ago that believers were struggling. You know, even here in Brailsford, there was in the 1600s a minister called John Bingham. He was one of those reformed believers who were ejected from their churches simply because they stuck to the principles of the Reformation of belief in God and God's Word. And right here in this village, he had to leave the village, he and his family, simply because of his beliefs. And that happened around the country in 1662. But we want to think more today about those who are suffering today. I don't know if you know any personally. We had friends when we lived in the Middle East called Arif and Kathy. They were missionaries. He was from Pakistan originally, she was from America. And they served the Lord in the Middle East, and we became very friendly with them. And Arif came to stay with us when we came back to live in this country. And then they went back to his home country of Pakistan. And it wasn't long before they were both murdered in cold blood, simply because of their faith. And we read each month, or I think it's each month anyway, in the Barnabas Fund magazine, stories of individuals who are suffering, who are being persecuted. And Barnabas have provided the sort of background, this chapter that we're looking at this morning. And as you read through the newspapers like Evangelical Times, Evangelicals Now, we read not only of people overseas who are struggling, but also people in our own land here who are losing jobs, who are being ridiculed, victimized, simply because they are Christians. So we all need to be ready. And I trust that as we look at this morning, that God will prepare our hearts. So we don't want to switch off simply because we don't live in these countries. We're all involved in some way or another as we stand alongside those that are suffering for their faith, even this morning. So we want to look at that chapter that Linda read to us, and particularly as a text we're using Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, which reads, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." Those are two sort of tensions that we have there, of hope and tribulation, might seem mutually exclusive, but they're two constant realities of the Christian life. Suffering in this earthly life is a reality of Christian experience, but hope in the eternal heavenly home that we are going towards and have right now in our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is also a reality for Christians, a reality of Christian faith and hope. So we'll just look very simply then, first of all, at what is this tribulation and suffering? Secondly, how do we respond to it? And thirdly, how do we move forward? So firstly then, what is this tribulation and suffering that Paul refers to? Well, the word that he uses means it comes across as tribulation or suffering, which sounds a little bit bland, but it really means to crush, to compress, to squeeze or break. That's the sort of picture that we're getting here of what Christians might go through. And it's not some mild discomfort. It's something that has the potential to press us down and crush us, almost to squeeze the life out of us. I don't know if you like making spicy foods, but I like cardamom especially in food. But to get the fresh spice out of that, you have to use the mortar and pestle and crush and twist until the skin breaks and you get a beautiful aroma from the cardamom. And that's the idea behind this word of tribulation. But it also includes persecution. And persecution, physical persecution, was the normality for those early Christians that Paul was writing to. Where he says in verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you." Not if they persecute you, but those who do persecute you. This would be something of their daily experience. And they are hunting Christians down.
as you know the stories in the way that the Christians were persecuted in the arenas. And such persecution was not just the daily experience, but it was also something that they were prepared for. And so, as we look around the world today and see Christians today persecuted for their faith, people who know what it is to say goodbye to earthly comforts, to family warmth, these brothers and sisters have made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it means that level of persecution. Just like Saba in that story of telling the children. So it's a daily reality, persecution. And today, we might not suffer in that way, but to be a Christian in today's society effectively means that we're a misfit in the mainstream of life as we stand up for different biblical principles. And it's rare these days, isn't it, to hear people in Parliament standing up and saying, this is what the Bible says. We give God thanks. There are some who are willing to do that. But as we thought on Thursday night in our Bible study, when we were looking at one of the Psalms, we read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, where we read, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Full stop. And in Peter's letters, we have many references there to how we deal with persecution. So yes, it will be pressure, it will be persecution. And we have to ask ourselves if we don't feel a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit alien in our world, a little bit out of place, are we truly following the Lord Jesus Christ? But it also includes pain as well. As Shigon mentioned in his prayers about the experience of us all, whether it be the COVID situation and the various viruses that are common to all human experience. But in this passage, Paul says in verse 15, and weep with those who weep. So again, there's an expectation that believers will weep, and that we need to be alongside them in that situation. And Christians are not exempt from suffering, earthly suffering. We heard just a week or so ago, didn't we? I think Nathan mentioned it last week about that Christian family who lost the mother and three children in that tragic car crash in Oxford. It happens. And when our Lord Jesus was on earth, he had compassion on all the people, especially those who were following him, because he knew that they were going through times of pain and pressure and persecution. Another country that I've got an interest in is Burkina Faso. And there, they're going through tremendous times of difficulty and persecution, and so know exactly where these places are. But these things are taking place. And there we read in the latest Barnabas News that jihadists killed 58 people in three separate attacks in Burkina Faso on the 29th and 30th of May. One attack was on a convoy taking food to a camp of displaced villagers, mainly Christians who had fled a previous jihadi violence. And this pastor, Pastor Yongli, gives God thanks for the work that Barnabas Fund have done. He said, I send my thanks to Barnabas Fund, who hurried to our aid, although they do not know us physically, but they know us by the compassion of God. And we give to Barnabas Fund, so our gifts go towards these sort of things. And extremists who are anti-Christian, create this violence that has escalated in the past several years. And the UN described an unprecedented rise in terrorist violence across the Sahel regions and the West Africa regions just below the Sahara there, with more than 4,000 deaths reported in Burkina Faso, Mali and Niger in 2019. That's a huge number, isn't it? In a country that is 30% Christian. And around 500,000 people were internally displaced by violence and escalating humanitarian crisis. So that's what's happening around the world. So that's the pain, that's the tribulation and the suffering. But secondly, how do we respond to this tribulation? And this is really where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? Where theory becomes practice. And I want us, we just think now of how we respond, to put ourselves in the position of a fellow believer, probably sitting in some cold, wet, damp, stinking prison cell. But also alongside that, thinking of our own situations as Christians living in this world, thinking of our Monday morning, how are we going to respond? And the first thing is, with hope. Our text says, rejoice in hope. And hope in the scriptures has a very specific meaning. It does mean that positive attitude. We can be a hopeful sort of person. But it's something more objective than that. It's something concrete. It's something definite. A situation that we hope for. A situation that we find in many passages in the scripture. A hope that is for today. A hope that is for eternity. And as we have that coming from our Christian faith, as we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, maybe that will bring us into situations of suffering, but more importantly, it gives us this certainty of hope in our Christian experience. And we want to recognize that the one we hope in is the eternal sovereign God who made this beautiful creation all around us. And as we forget that, we forget then that God is in control of everything. So our hope isn't just vague in just hoping for the best. This is a concrete hope, a hope that is based in our eternal Heavenly Father who has given us the privileges of being his children. We know that hymn, don't we? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's only as Christians that we can have this faith. So let me encourage all of you to just examine your own hearts. Is that the sort of hope that you have? And that only comes as we put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can give us that hope. And that hope develops our character. We read also in Romans that we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given us. So we can rejoice that as we suffer, that produces hope. And that is a fruit then that will be produced and will give us character in our Christian walk. But the second thing is that this hope gives us is that it means that we are counted worthy. Remember in Acts chapter 5, the apostles were suffering, were being persecuted. And it says this in verse 41 of chapter 5.
So the apostles departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we suffer, it's because we're being counted worthy to suffer alongside our Lord Jesus Christ. And for centuries, in our own country here, people have suffered willingly. And as we forget that, we forget then that God is in control of everything. So our hope isn't just vague in just hoping for the best. This is a concrete hope, a hope that is based in our eternal Heavenly Father, who has given us the privileges of being his children. We know that hymn, don't we? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's only as Christians that we can have this faith. So let me encourage all of you to just examine your own hearts. Is that the sort of hope that you have? And that only comes as we put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can give us that hope. And that hope develops our character. We read also in Romans that we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given us. So we can rejoice that as we suffer, that produces hope. And that is a fruit then that will be produced and will give us character in our Christian walk. But the second thing is that this hope gives us is that it means that we are counted worthy. Remember in Acts chapter 5, the apostles were suffering, were being persecuted. And it says this in verse 41 of chapter 5. So the apostles departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we suffer, it's because we're being counted worthy to suffer alongside our Lord Jesus Christ. And for centuries, in our own country here, people have suffered willingly because they knew that they were suffering for their Lord. And I know when I've been to other countries that people have never said, take me out of this. They've just said, make me willing to suffer in a way that is honouring to God. And it draws us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in Philippians, we were looking at recently, Paul, who was at the time a prisoner himself when he wrote these words, says, rejoice in the Lord always. So our thoughts and our emotions are drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ as we suffer. And as we go through difficulties, it draws us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. So we then respond with hope. But secondly, with patience. Again in our verse, we're told to be patient in tribulation. And this is a sort of a positive patience. You know, we can be patient and really begrudge it, a grudging sort of patience. But this is a proactive, active sort of positive response to suffering, a brave sort of patience that perseveres, bearing that pressure, that load, whatever it might be, a faith that refuses to weaken and complain and be discouraged, the sort of hope that we see in many of these believers who for years and years have been in prison and won't relent, it won't give up, won't give up on their Lord Jesus Christ and turn to another faith and be released. That's the sort of patience that is being referred to here. And as we look on, I know I do, I just wonder how I would perform under those situations. It's so hard, isn't it? But we have to remember that this is a spiritual exercise. It's not just us gritting our teeth. And the believers that Paul was writing to were given that inner strength through the Holy Spirit. So this is not some sort of moral instruction this morning, saying this is how we should do and we must do better. But it's a statement of what is possible for all of us as Christians who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who are given something beyond our natural abilities. So it's not as though we'd be in prison just sort of dying for a cause. It's something that is a spiritual exercise as well, as we exercise this patience in tribulation. But it's also, when we respond to tribulation, something that drives us to prayer. The third thing in that verse was continuing steadfastly in prayer. And that's where we find our strength from, when we find ourselves in a corner. Number one, always, always pray. Always remember that we're praying to a God who never sleeps or slumbers. We're speaking to our Heavenly Father, who has got a compassion towards us, so much compassion that he sent his only Son to die on the cross to save us. That's the sort of level of love that God has for us. And as we pray regularly for our brothers and sisters around the world, let's pray that we would be steadfast and constant, continuing steadfastly in our prayers. And we have plenty of prayer material, don't we? We have these Barnabas magazines. We have the prayer diary things that we use. So let's use all these opportunities to pray. And as we come on a Thursday night to pray, let's pray. Prayer is so vital in our daily walk with God and our supporting of our brothers and sisters. So that's how we respond. We respond with hope, with patience, with prayer. But as we read that passage, we also saw there that we need to respond with love. And this is a remarkable section, bearing in mind that Paul wrote that himself as a persecuted prisoner, writing to people who are being persecuted. So this sort of love is real love, isn't it? It's not just sentimental love, it's real deep love. And he talks there in verse 9 of our passage, saying, "Let love be without hypocrisy." Some versions say sincere. That's what our Christian life has got to be. It's got to be genuine. I probably mentioned this before, I don't know, but that word sincere, I love that word because it means without wax. Well, that's one of the derivations of it. And you'll be interested in this, all right? In the old days when they used to make these huge statues, the sculptor was carving away there, probably for months, making these huge marble statues. And probably got just to a few final features on the nose, maybe, hammering away there. And he hit too hard and the nose fell off. And the statue was due to be displayed the following day, just as he was putting those finishing touches to it. No way could he start again. So what the sculptors used to do was, they used to melt wax, same colour as the marble, and then melt the wax and then push the nose back on. And it stuck there and you couldn't really see it until it got very hot. And then the wax melted and the nose fell off. What this is telling us, that's not to be the sort of Christian, the sort of love that we have. It's got to be genuine. not one stuck on with wax. The word hypocrisy means play acting. So we've got our love's not got to be for some ulterior motive or just for show. It's got to be genuine as we love our brothers and sisters around the world. And it's got to be a good love. It says then in verse 9, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And that means that we must hate evil with an intensity and turn to love and cling to that love. It means really like super gluing ourselves to that person in love, that we don't just do a little bit, but we really are concerned. And so as we look at the needs of those that are suffering, it's a practical, physical thing that we're looking at as we love them with our whole heart, just in the way that our Lord Jesus did, as he dealt with people physically and spiritually. And to add to that, it's also an affectionate family sort of love. In verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And that word, kindly affectionate there, is a very special word that Paul uses in the New Testament. And it means a deep, tender, heartfelt love, the sort of love that we have for our close relatives. And it's that sort of love that we need to display to our brothers and sisters today. And it goes on in verse 10 to say, honouring each other in love, giving preference to one another. So it's a love that supersedes anything else. It's a love that supersedes any tribal boundaries, any national caste sort of boundaries, any boundaries of status or our background. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially those who are in a prison cell, are worthy of our respect. They're all made in the image of God, and that's the sort of extent of our love. But then Paul really ups the ante then, doesn't he, in verse 14, where this love, the level of this love, is now extended even further. He says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And that's tough, isn't it? I don't know if you've read stories of Christians who've met with people who have persecuted them in the past or persecuted their loved ones. And for them to just put out the hand of love is very, very hard. And yet that is what Paul is telling us we should be doing. That's the level of our love and the expectation of our love. So then, how do we respond? We respond with hope, with patience, with prayer, with love, and then just finally with service. So it's not a half-hearted response that we make. Perhaps it's just once a year as we have this special dedicated service for the persecuted church, but this is something that is constant. It says in verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So here we see that this response is a zealous response. So don't let's sort of fall to sleep here. Let's be zealous in this. And it goes on to say they're fervent in spirit. That really means sort of glow, a boiling point. That's the sort of level of response that God wants from us. And serving the Lord, what that really means, literally means, as regards the Lord, slaving. That's a sort of level of service that God wants from us as slaves, as it were, to the Lord. And verse 13, again, literally means, as regards the needs of the saints, fellowshipping, giving. Fellowshipping really means not just having a cup of tea with somebody, it means getting involved with them, helping them, particularly financially, interestingly enough. And we have opportunity to give to Barnabas and to other organisations, and we can do that individually, we can do it through Jeff, to give to support the needs of our brothers and sisters when we can't physically meet them. When we are able to meet them, the next thing we see there is given to hospitality. And that was such an important feature in the world of the pre-social services sort of world, where Christians were strangers and pilgrims and living in a hostile environment. But it is still a necessary part of our today life as Christians too. And we have to have this empathy. We read in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So Christians should be people, men and women, boys and girls, who do not shrink from the pain around us, but have that empathy towards those who are suffering. So then finally, just as we round this off, we've seen, haven't we, that we do, as Christians, have to endure persecution and suffering. And we know that those, especially that are physically being persecuted this morning, that we have to respond in certain ways to that, with hope and patience and prayer and love and service. And as we stand alongside our brothers and sisters, we do so with zeal. And we also do it knowing that it's not a hopeless cause, that God knows exactly what's going on, and that God doesn't allow sin to prosper, as we saw in the Psalm 129 that we looked at in the week. We know that God himself will act at his perfect time. So there won't be any injustice allowed in this world, and that wrongs will be righted, and that cruelty will be dealt with. We know that from the very beginning in Genesis, we're told that, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So we can be sure, we don't want to get down in the mouth as we see these things happening. Yes, we want to be zealous in our support of our brothers and sisters. We never want to think that this world's got out of control, that God's lost control. For we read in those words that we read in verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's the positive conclusion, isn't it? Of persecution, of the persecuted church. And as for ourselves, when there only seems to be evil around us, God is still in control. So what's our role? Our role is to continue rejoicing. Rejoicing in hope. Loving our brothers and sisters. Forgiving and hoping. Knowing that evil won't conquer. And however much our suffering is, that God is there and that we can call on him, knowing that we have hope in suffering. Amen. There is a hymn on the hymn sheet there that... I don't know if we know it. It's very quiet, that good one. Let me just get the tune in our minds. So just let's read this together now. His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Well, if we can meet tonight on Zoom, it'd be great to see you there. Say we've got Mark Selby speaking to us then, and look forward to seeing you this time next week, God willing.